You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, Attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's Attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, 508-650-9900. Anytime you'd like to reach out, I am back in the studio with Ben Stitch. Got to check out his website, Ben Stitch, BenStich.com. A lot of great information, and you can reach out to him on that site. We are discussing mediation. And Ben, let's get back into the conversation. We were making the distinction between negotiating versus counseling. And let's talk a little bit more on what mediation is and what mediation is not. And go back to my equation, emotion equals cost. So whenever it comes to divorce, I always say to folks in particular in that setting, emotion equals cost. Don't look at it that, well, I'm going to go for $20,000 more, but it's going to cost me $18,000 to get that $20,000 more. Is that really worth it? Now, when I phrase it like that, it seems cold. But you know what? It should be cold, because once you let the emotion run away with it, then hell yeah, I'm going for that $20,000 more, even if it cost me the 18, so I'm walking away with two. Was it really worth that extra effort that we put into it? So sometimes folks are looking at it and say, well, do I go mediation? Do I go through the normal channels through the probate and family court and just litigate the heck out of it? Where do we find ourselves? Because, I mean, we've read through tabloids and everything else that some divorces can end up costing $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. That's with a lot of zeros after it. Yep. Okay. And people end up settling in exactly where they started, except the attorneys made a lot of money because of that process. So mediation does serve a valuable part in the process, and there's a lot of decisions that can be made. And I liken it. It's not just in divorce setting with families breaking apart, but it's also in business settings as well. Is if you lay everything out on the table and understand everybody's expectations, and if you're trying to come to an agreement, it's easier if you get some of the ancillary things taken care of first and then leave the big decisions to really fight over, if you will. So take us through mediation versus the normal process. How do we decide, A, which we go through? Yep. And then B is that once we've decided which we're going to go through, what does it look like?
Okay.
Loaded question.
A lot of a lot of layers built into that question. So there are a lot of ways of getting divorced in Massachusetts. One is to, certainly could do it yourself. Not recommended unless you have no kids and no property and it's short-term marriage, because you don't know what you don't know. But it's very inexpensive, takes a short period of time, and you have control over the outcome. If you think about those three factors, the next step in the process is mediation, where there is an added cost, but relative to a traditional contested divorce, it's far less expensive. Even if you have attorneys to consult with along the way, which is certainly recommended, you're not paying two massive retainers. You're sharing the cost of one professional. My rate's probably less than any of the attorneys that you'll find for counsel along the way. And you have complete control over the outcome, and you have complete privacy, because mediation by statute is confidential. So I can never be called to testify on behalf of either party if things ever got litigious down the road. It also is a much usually takes far less time, and frankly, the timing is up to the parties. They get to decide how frequently they want to meet, and you know, some people spread it out, and some people do it in a really compact way. The next step beyond that is something called collaborative law, where both parties have attorneys. There are a couple other neutrals involved, a divorce coach, often a financial neutral, and the good part about collaborative law is that all the professionals sign an agreement saying that should things ever litigate, they all have to withdraw. So they, like the parties, have a vested interest in settling. It's much more expensive, paying a lot of people, but there's a place for it. And then there's traditional contested 1B divorce, which is what it's called in Massachusetts, where each party has an attorney. Attorneys are very I appreciate what you said about attorneys, because I'd never want to malign attorneys. Attorneys are incredibly important. Some of the best mediators I know are attorneys. some of the worst attorneys and mediators I know are attorneys, right? It's just like anything. There's good and bad in every field. And, you know, a traditional contested divorce is going to be a lot more expensive, definitely take a lot more time. One of the reasons it's expensive is there's a much a deeper level of discovery, and the attorneys, while they hope they can settle the case, and most do, they always have to prepare for the possibility it might not settle, and it might have to go to trial. So often there's hours and hours and hours of work that's being done that never actually gets used, but that the clients are paying for. The reasons why some people like the contested divorce is, number one, it provides clarity. Decisions will be made because if the lawyers can't do it, the judge will. And you don't have to deal with the other person. On the other hand, you don't have control over the outcome. You're not the decision maker. People are trying to represent you with their own lens, usually focus more on their rights than what your interests might be. And maybe we should talk about positions and interests because that's at the heart of mediation. But, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all.
And that's the interesting thing to look at is a lot of times when you're in a negotiation, and really that's what the divorce is, a negotiation no matter how we look at it. Mm-hmm. And really when it comes to a negotiation, and I've had it, I tell everybody I'm a lover and not a fighter when it comes to the law. I don't like litigation. I could frame the arguments. I could see all the arguments and everything. I just don't like the way I feel going through the process.
Yep.
But when I'm dealing with a negotiation in a business transaction and I've come up against attorneys on the other side that are litigators by nature, they're coming at the negotiation from a completely different angle. And I think that's a great analogy that I just want to hone in on a little bit more is what's the lens that somebody's looking at things from? Because I've had situations where I'm negotiating a business transaction and I've had to turn around to the attorney on the other side and say, look, your client wants the deal done. My client wants the deal done. Our objective as the attorneys is not to try to get what we think is the best deal necessarily. It's to get the deal done. Our clients want the deal done, and they don't want to spend $1 million on legal representation to get the deal done.
Yeah.
And that's something that folks really need to look at is that because the biggest question I think anybody has when they're getting involved in something, what is this going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far do you want to push certain areas? What are you willing to agree upon heading into the negotiation, whether it's in contested or whether it's in the mediation setting?
Yep.
And that's the thing to determine is that how much control do you want to have in the process? And can everybody just agree is that, look, at the end of the day, we both want to be divorced if that's what we want to have happen. And really the only thing to determine, as you had said, is the assets and the kids.
Right. Yep.
The rest of it is just incidentals, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get into mediation, and another important point is it's confidential by statute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for folks to understand is that this is something, and understanding mediation versus litigation also, because it's confidential by statute, and you have the opportunity to throw all the cards down on the table, or more of the cards down on the table,
yep,
as you will, than if you were heading into litigation. Heading into litigation, you might hold some of the cards close to your chest because it could impact whatever the potential result is.
Absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit more on mediation as to, okay, yes, we want to go forward with mediation versus litigation, some of the other factors to consider.
In making that decision.
In making the decision.
So, you know, it might be helpful to share an experience I had this last year to kind of backdoor that question. I mediated a client where they came to me after having spent six figures trying to resolve their divorce through the traditional approach, and they made zero decisions. I mean, they were educators. I mean, they had made good incomes, but these are not high net worth folks. And we had 5 2-hour mediations, by the end of that 10 hours of mediation, they had resolved it. And the reason they resolved it was because they were communicating directly, because they were not in a zero-sum game where it was winner or loser, but they were actually talking about the impact on their kids, the impact on their futures, and the issues that were most important to them. And that's what led to resolution of the negotiation.
Because it was more focused. They had a real agenda to work off of. And the goals you had set for them is, here's what we need to achieve.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Ben, again, how do our listeners reach out to you?
I appreciate you asking. 617-872-7731 or ben@benstich.com.
And that's BENSTICH.com. Check out the website as well. A lot of great information on there. I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor. You can always reach me at 508-650-9900 or radio@TotalCounselor.com. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, Attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's Attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, as always, 508-650-9900 or radio@TotalCounselor.com. Anytime you'd like to reach out. Any of the minds that you'd like to meet that we keep around our table. And this morning we've got Ben Stich in the studio with us, and we are discussing mediation, exciting area, and negotiation and all things that relate to it. So a lot of times folks think that my marriage has completely broken down and that's when I'm going to head towards mediation. And I think one of the other points, we were making some of the distinctions, your background versus as a social worker, mm-hmm. licensing versus a licensed attorney doing mediation. And we were making the distinction there between the two. And I think one of the other values to bring out in your role as a social worker, and we were discussing the differences between negotiating versus counseling. One of the things that can come out a little bit more in advance is we don't know how something is going to end. Mm-hmm. But the better prepared we are at the front, we can control a little bit more what that final outcome is going to be. At the end of the day, a divorce might be a divorce, and that's it. But are there things that might take place before you get to that point? From my vantage point, a lot of times I'm looking at situations, and I'm seeing how divorces end up playing out. And there are individuals that I feel the most bad for in the divorce situations. Those are the little ones. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that they didn't ask for the situation that they found themselves in. They didn't ask to be born into this particular family.
Right.
They didn't ask to see the parents fighting or not communicating with one another and whatnot. And at the end of the day, I think the assets, some people will disagree, I think the assets should be the easiest thing to deal with, because at the end of the day, it's money. It's cold. It's calculated. There's not much to it.
Yep.
But really what comes into play is those children. What's going to happen with them? And unfortunately, a lot of times, and you probably see it a lot more than I do, is they become the pawns in the game. How do you deal with, whether it's going through the mediation process or a situation where you've probably been in situations where it starts out in mediation, but you know right when that mediation starts that you're going to give it the old college try, you're going to try to guide them, but it's going to end up in litigation no matter what it is that you're going to do. How do you work in that situation dealing with the children? What are some of the steps that people should be thinking in advance when they could think a little bit more rationally, if you will, in the situation is that, look, my wife and I, it's going to end up in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
What should we be thinking of in advance? How can you work in the situation dealing with the children? What are the options that are out there?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a such a complicated question, and it's such an important one. And to your point around the difference, just a quick note, between the division of assets and debt versus kids, I mean, I've had some attorneys refer mediation of the parenting plan to me while the attorneys negotiate the hard, cold money. Attorneys are really good at figuring out that stuff, and often are. It's easy to know what the courts would do if it was led to the judge's discretion. When it comes to parenting, it's not that level of clarity, because we're dealing with real people and real lives, and so many unclear factors. So I guess the first thing I like to think about, and it doesn't matter if it's a low conflict co-parenting dynamic or a high conflict co-parenting dynamic, they're going to be co-parents together. And like I say to them, you're probably going to be grandparents together if things go the way you probably want them to. So part of what I do is help create some imagery. You know, what do you want your child's experience to be like when they're walking down the aisle? Do they have to pick between mom or dad, or mom or dad and dad, or do they need to, can they hold both your hand and walk down? And that process starts here in how you negotiate the parenting plan. Likewise, you know, when they're in the mediation table around the negotiation, kind of having this imagery, like pretend like you have a framed photograph of your child facing you. And that imagery is about really thinking about what is in the child's best interest. When we come up with a parenting plan, the goal is to best meet the kid's needs. So while the parents' preferences are important and certainly need to be included, if parents have a kiddo who really struggles with transitions, that should be a factor that should be taken into account in developing a parenting schedule that perhaps minimizes transitions. If there are certain rituals or traditions the kids really love and appreciate, then they should be negotiating in a way that helps preserve as much as possible, that's realistic, so the kids can have those same experiences. And when parents are able to think about their kids' best interests, they don't always agree on what those things are, but at least now they're talking about it, right? Now they're talking about their kids. They're talking about a range of options, and hopefully they're thinking more about the future and less about the past. And that's a separate question, but that's what mediation is all about, right? It's really the most effective mediations are when we're talking about the here and now in the future. And in divorce, they have an opportunity to create a new future, right? The past is dynamic and narrative is over, and they have the opportunity to rewrite the narrative. Because their relationship, while still being co-parents, they're not going to have the romantic dynamic that they have to figure out. They just have to be in basically a business-like relationship, and they're in the business of raising their kids. And they should treat each other like they would a business partner or a really big client. You don't have to like each other. You can despise each other. You can complain about the other and the privacy with your therapist or whoever you're talking to. But when you're at the business table and you're, you know, what more important business is there than the raising of your kids?
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you use that as the analogy, because the conversations that I've had with many people over the years, as we've discussed in the estate planning context and sort of what to put into play within certain documents based on children's relationships now that some kids are older and the parents like or dislike who they're involved with, married or otherwise, I come back to over 20 years ago, the advice my mother gave to me when I was walking down the aisle, before I walked down the aisle, and the advice that she gave is that the best way to make sure that your marriage lasts in general, and if for anybody that knows my mother, she's she's very warm, she's there for anybody. Yeah. And the advice, so it wasn't a cold, calculated statement, but she basically said is that you have to treat your marriage as a business. And there are certain times where you have to agree, and there's certain times you're going to disagree. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have to have certain resolutions that you have to just come to, and it's all give and take. And that's what it is. And if you remember that, things will work out. Don't necessarily say things that can come back to bite you later on, yeah. But consider that. And I think it's great using the creative imagery. One of the questions that I wanted to ask of you is that I wanted to hone in on. So from a process perspective, can I go through parenting through mediation, but the rest of the stuff, if you will, through the normal litigation channel, if you will, through the court system?
Absolutely. The vast majority of my divorces, we mediate all the issues to resolution, both the assets, the liabilities, and the parenting issues. You can come to agreement on any number of topics and then have some outstanding topics they're just unresolved. And either the attorneys then can negotiate those, or worst case scenario, you present whatever's completed in a separation agreement to the court and say, and judge, we have these two outstanding issues we need your help with. And the judge can make, you know, determination for those outstanding issues.
Got it. So, and that works out really well for folks because it's not an all or nothing proposition that, okay, if we go with mediation, we've got to do everything in mediation, or we go litigation, it has to be all litigation,
yep.
Which I think mediation is a much better process lending to parenting decisions.
Absolutely.
And everything else, because you have the time, and that's the biggest thing that's against you in the court system, because the judges are overwhelmed and everything, is to be able to turn around and spend the time that's necessary to really walk through what's going to be in the best in the children's best interest. And that's really what you're going for.
And to that point, I work with a retired probate judge in a program where I teach, and she likes to say that judges don't necessarily, when it comes to parenting, judges don't make good decisions. They just make decisions. And what she means by that is judges are not trained in child development and how to strategize high conflict dynamics in a parenting relationship. So they'll provide clarity, but they're usually making decisions based on very little information with very little time to think about things. And you know, and the courts were really never designed to decide, you know, should Johnny play football or lacrosse, or can we go on a 5-day vacation or an 8-day vacation to California, right? Ideally, the parents should be able to make those decisions.
Excellent. And that's something where parents need to recognize the fact is that, I love the statement, let's agree to disagree. And that's one of the key things is that you're not going to get everything you want. And in a good negotiation, I've always been told, is everybody doesn't get everything that they want in order to have a successful negotiation. And you have to recognize is that what's the most important. But again, these are human beings that we're talking about, and there's going to be ramifications. I always joke with folks and say is we're all going to be in therapy because of things our parents have done to us. It's just a matter of how long that therapy
right.
session is going to be.
Absolutely.
So you could reach out to Ben at BenStich, BenStich.com. Anytime, a lot of great information on there. I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor, 508-650-9900 or radio@TotalCounselor.com. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Total Counselor with your host, Attorney Alan Margulies, on News and Talk Radio, AM 830 WCRN. Once again, here's Attorney Margulies.
Welcome back. Alan Margulies, The Total Counselor, 508-650-9900 or radio@TotalCounselor.com. I'm back in the studio with Ben Stich, licensed social worker and mediator. And that's what we've been discussing on the show here is mediation. So, Ben, let's talk for a couple of moments, thinking of it from a consumer perspective, okay? No matter what it is that we're looking at, whether it's divorce, whether it's going to one of the local furniture stores and buying a couch or a sofa of some sort or a bed or anything like that, and I find it a lot of times in estate planning, is we like to know what is it going to cost us? Mm-hmm. What do we need to be prepared for? And in the estate planning setting, I love when I get that kind of question because it's, well, you have to compare apples to apples. You have to understand what is it that's most important? What are you looking to achieve? And anything like this, whether it's estate planning, whether it's getting a divorce is actually, this is going to sound weird, it's actually an investment. You're investing in the process, which then is going to lead you to whatever that outcome is going to be. And as we were discussing in the last segment, the little children, this could be going on for years and years. Now, as you had described in our second segment, where you have a simple situation, not much assets, no kids, short-term divorce, well, that's easy. You can divorce and never have to see, speak, or hear from that person ever again.
Yeah.
Every time it's a situation where there's assets and sometimes complicated assets that are involved that can't be divided easily, or you have children involved, there's going to be continued interactions with one another that you have to recognize. So when I'm starting out the process and I've recognized the fact that I'm going to get divorced, this is going to end in some way. I don't want it to drag on forever. We've got kids. We want to resolve that issue as amicably as we possibly can. What should I be prepared for as I start in the process? So what should I be prepared for in a couple of different settings? You've described great for us. Here's the different venues that we can go through. Here's the different processes, mediation, litigation. We could break it up into different areas. And then what are the costs that we have to look at, and what's my time investment as far as, you said I can control some of it, but what is that really going to look like?
Okay. So it sounds like you'd like me to speak to the costs and the timeline.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, let's say we take a pretty typical divorce where there's some property, a marital home, say, and a couple of kids and moderate level of conflict, not the lowest level of conflict and not the highest level of conflict. Well, those both are good for mediation. You know, typically that type of mediation, soup to nuts, from the mediation sessions, the court fees, hopefully paying for a few hours of consultation to an attorney or financial advisor or an accountant, whatever expert advice they might need. You know, I think it's reasonable to do that in under $5,000. And if you were to go to the contested divorce, each party's going to be paying more than that simply in their retainer, and then plus. Most mediations I do in that kind of description probably come between $3,000 to $4,000, and that includes both the mediation sessions and the documentation. And there's some other ancillary costs. There's court fees, and there's a parent education class that's court mandated that parents have to take. And, you know, so there's some other costs associated, but relatively speaking, it's far less expensive. Now, there's no guarantee, right? I mean, some mediations do go longer. Some mediations do require more expert advice, like if, let's say, it's a family business and they need business valuation or a complicated estate plan, you know, and you might come into the negotiation. There might be other costs, but those ancillary services are going to be there regardless of whether it's mediation or contested,
yep.
Right? So in terms of the length, you know, I have some folks who they say, let's meet every week and we're going to bang this out and we're going to be done in 6 weeks. And other folks where literally I see them every 5 months. And it's based off their lifestyles and their job situations and their sense of urgency, how much information and research they need to do in between sessions to come back and be able to make informed decisions, how responsible they are in their homework that they assign themselves or I encourage them to do. So, you know, all those factors come into play. And for a lot of people come to mediation because they want to save money. And what I say to them is, I'll give you as much homework as you want. Right? If you want to do everything here, that's great. But if you're able to communicate about some of these things without my assistance, without it devolving into conflict, great. That's super. And I'll give you those assignments. And then you just have to come back and kind of share your thoughts with me and we'll fine tune it.
And that's really where people need to look at it. And you know, if you can lay it out, and as you're talking, I'm thinking is that the clearer folks can be as they're going into the process, if you can lay out, okay, these are all the things that we really need to get accomplished. And that's where going through a mediation to start, rather than let's pull out our guns and start firing at one another, and we can lay it out clearly, okay, here's the things that we need to consider. You put down your list of the 20 objectives that I want to have met by the time we're done with the process. You can very easily turn around and say, okay, there's 20 things here. 10 of them we agree upon immediately right out of the gate. Okay, so we don't need to fight over those. Those don't need to be bargaining chips later on. So now we have 10. And of those 10, there's really only two or three that these are contentious and we really need to work out. And so if we can then take care of the other seven or eight, that we could say, okay, you know what, we're going to negotiate these on our own, come back to the table if there's any disagreement, but these two or three are the ones that we really need to focus in on in the mediation.
And to that point, it's a great example. So one of the things I try to facilitate that is by providing tools for my clients that I create checklists, and you know, so they have a list of all the topics that we're going to talk about and tools around how to kind of think about the holiday division. And you know, so it's pretty common for folks to, you know, have a couple of hot button topics. We can't figure out Christmas, and we're still working on the buyout arrangement for the house, and we're not sure what we're going to do about life insurance. But everything else, so they were able to bang out in a couple of sessions.
Awesome. Ben, thanks so much for joining me on the air this morning. You can check out his website and get all his contact information at benstich.com. And as always, I'm Alan Margulies, the Total Counselor, 508-650-9900 or radio@totalcounselor.com. And I plan for next week.